Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. By faith, we understand pain. If I could draw your attention to verse number 11 that says, by faith we understand that the universe was created at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. I'll throw it on the screens for you just in the beginning. By faith we understand. I want everybody to say, by faith we understand. Come on, say it again. By faith we understand. If you're home, say it again with us one more time. By faith we understand. There's an understanding that only comes by faith. There is a level of knowledge. There's a level of wisdom. There's a level of information. You won't access it if you don't have the faith to access it. We understand by faith. Our understanding is significantly impacted by faith. And there's a level of understanding that we will never reach if we don't have the faith to strive for it. Someone sent me a text or a DM or something and asked me, and they said to me, well, why does it take faith to understand? Doesn't understanding come by education? Doesn't understanding come by knowledge? Doesn't it come as a result of information? Why does it take faith to understand, Pastor Andy? Doesn't it come by education? Doesn't it come as a result of the kind of access you have to information? I mean, the greater the access to education and information, the greater the understanding. Why does it take faith to understand? And I get why that's a question, particularly today, particularly from a group and from a culture and a time that was forced to go to school, where school and education was mandatory. School and education was something that was seen, in a sense, is seen by us as a right and not a privilege. We feel like we have a right to education. African Americans battled for a right to equal education because there was a time when education was not a right, it was a privilege. There was a time when it wasn't that somebody made you go to school, you wanted to go to school. We are descendants of great grandparents who did work to be educated, who fought to be educated. We are descendants from people that weren't allowed to read, my God. If they did read, they had to do it in secret. They couldn't let somebody know how smart they were because they didn't like it. You, if you were too smart, you had to hide your smart. But even beyond the African-American experience or what happened in America, in the history of mankind, education was not a given. Education was not a privilege. Educating the masses is a relatively new concept in humanity. And if you wanted a better understanding, you had to seek it. If you wanted a greater understanding, you had to sit at the feet of someone who had understanding to give you. You had to show that person that you were worthy of that information. And the only way you would do that would be if you believed that that understanding would bring you something. The only way you did that is if you believed that the sacrifice of that time and the sacrifice of your mind space would actually open a door for you to have an understanding that you don't have now. One of the results of mandatory education, and I'm not knocking it, but one of the results of it is that we have raised an extremely skeptical generation. A group that needs everything proven to them. But you have to understand that for some things to really be understood, you gotta have some kind of faith, particularly if you are going to be educated about something that was in the future. Future understanding comes by faith. For you to understand something that is yet to happen, you'll have to have faith to believe that it actually might happen and that someone knows something you don't know. If all you're trying to do is just understand your time and your moment and your day and your generation, then it don't take a whole lot of faith. It doesn't take a whole lot of faith to study the history. But if you are going to get a glimpse into tomorrow, you will have to have faith. If you're going to lift your eyes above what you see in the natural and focus on where is God moving and what is God doing and what is about to happen and what is about to take place, for you to have an understanding of tomorrow, you will have to have faith. What I mean is, wisdom from an elder comes by faith. Wisdom from an elder comes by faith. When I was a kid, there was this show that came on television that I wasn't allowed to watch, really, although I did watch it on a sneak tip, and it was called Shazam. I don't know if you know if they made a movie of it, but Shazam. One of the things that my parents didn't like about Shazam, because I had some of those parents that were very, very sensitive about anything that they saw as witchcraft or anything that was that they thought was demonic or anything that they thought wasn't godly. I wish I had a witness in it. Anything with too much sorcery in it, anything with too much, anything with any kind of witchcraft, anything with anything like that. There was a show that came on called Isis. Now I'm showing my time. I'm really showing my age now. But Almighty Isis. And it was just kind of, and it was a girl. She was a cute girl. Help us, Holy Ghost. And it was, I just wasn't allowed to watch it. I wanted to watch Shazam, but there was this, there was a part of it where he would communicate with the elders. He would communicate with this group of dead people that had all kinds of folk on it. And when my mom saw that, she got to rebuking the devil and turned the TV off. Oh, no, you're not. The devil is a liar. And I'm like, it's just a show. No. But my point is that a part of what has constantly been a factor in humanity is the ability to honor wisdom from the elder. I know we're Christians and we're believers, praise God, hallelujah. And so we want all of that information to come from the Bible. Got you. I hear you. No doubt about it. But just understand that wisdom from the Bible takes faith. Wisdom from an elder takes faith. And so if you're going to receive wisdom from someone that's past you, you might have to believe it to prove it. If you need to prove it now, you may never believe it. And there may be an understanding that you'll never gain. And that's unfortunate, because nothing would be better for you than to have a 50-year-old's understanding at 32. I wish I had a witness in the building. I know I'm not the only one that wishes they knew then what they knew now. Can I get a witness? Wish you can get in the time machine and go back 10 years, 15 years. And so if that is the reason why many of us are thinking that is because the elders that were talking to us, we did not listen. We didn't believe they knew what they were talking about. And if we were going to access that understanding, then it would have taken some faith. Because by faith, we understand. Sometimes you have to believe it to prove it. Now, there's many times where wisdom and understanding comes with time. It is proven, but it's proven in the thick of it and not in a moment when it could have benefited you. Good God, help us. In all of our getting, I want us to get an understanding, but it's difficult to understand without faith. And I know I'm not the only one that heard a word from an elder and didn't want to hear it, and then later it was proven right? I'm just looking around to see, do I have anybody honest? I know there's folk online saying, oh, that's me, PA, that's me. My daddy said something, my mama said something, and they got on my nerves. They actually got on my nerves. My daddy got on my nerves. My daddy was very cheap. Anybody have cheap parents? Not just broke parents, but cheap parents. My parents were broke and cheap. Come on, wait a second. Broke and cheap. Sometimes you're broke and then you're cheap. Sometimes you're cheap even if you got something. My daddy was very cheap. He didn't like to pay for stuff. Didn't like to pay for stuff he couldn't see. He made a particular big deal about hot water. All right, I'll just leave it alone. Hot water, long distance, anything like that. But hot water was a big deal. Using up all that hot water. So much so that my dad kicked the door in on me on a shower one time. Because my dad had this little switch on the shower where you could turn the water off. What my dad believed was you turn on the hot water. So I'm in there showering. Woo-hoo, here he come. Boom. Kicks the door open. What are you doing? I'm like, I'm showering. I'm covering up. He's like, dude, you ain't got nothing I ain't seen. Anyway, I'm just like, I'm showering. I mean, I'm 14. He's like, you're not showering right. I said, okay, what do you mean? He said, okay, first of all, see that little switch up there? And I said, like, yeah, all right. He said, What you do is get in, turn the water on. When it gets hot, get in it, get wet, flick the switch, turn the water off, soap up, cold. Because the heat's not on. Then turn the water back on, rinse, and get out. Your shower should take less than 5 minutes. Less than three. He timed it. And go. And I remember thinking, this man, I can't stand him. All he thinks about is money. Till I got my own water bill. I wish I had a witness. Till I got my own house. Told you, my dad fussed at how many squares of tissue you used. He believed it took 4 perforated squares. 4 squares to do your business. I'm in there pulling on a roll. Pff, pff, and boom, kicked the door open, snatched paper out my hand, gave me 4 squares. I said, it's going to get on my hand. He said, well, then you will wash your hand afterwards. I've told this story so many times, but it's true. And as I wiped with thin, 4 thin two-ply that he had separated into extra. Anyway, as I did that, I was so mad until I got my own house, had my own tissue. I heard one of them boys in there shower running and pulling on paper at the same time. Shower running while you're sitting. I'm waiting for it to get hot. I said, boy, it don't take longer than a minute for it to get hot. This whole bathroom is steamed up and this whole, you done run 80 gallons of water sitting on the throne, pulling on the roll. Give me that. Gave that boy 4 squares. He said, you about to shower anyway. My point is that he was crazy till I got my own bill. The Bible is ancient wisdom. The Bible is ancient wisdom. To gain access to a wisdom and understanding, not just the spiritual, but a wisdom and understanding that is from the ancient, that is from the elder, that is from above. To receive that wisdom, especially a wisdom that gives you a glimpse into what's happening tomorrow, you're going to have faith for that. Doesn't come if you don't have faith. I have a chiropractor, and anybody that's rolling towards the end, a chiropractor is a blessing. crack you up. You walk in with something hurting and walk out free. My chiropractor is 10 years older than me and in better shape than me. Nothing like working out with somebody older than you and in better shape than you. You got a younger person working you out, you can always say, you 28. But if you 47 and somebody 52 is working you out, they remove your excuse. And what's more, they can give you a glimpse into what's coming. But sometimes to really accept that, you have to have faith. Last week, I gave you, out of Hebrews chapter 11, I gave you 7 success concepts that you understand by faith. I looked at Hebrews chapter 11, and I said, all right, this is an understanding. By faith, we understand. There's a level of understanding that only comes by faith. And I gave you these 7 success concepts. I said, you're not going to understand everything. There are going to be some things that you don't understand. And there are some things in which you're not going to be able to walk in your understanding. You have to trust God. But there are some things that you do need to be serious about understanding if you're planning on having success in life or success in business or success in the ministry or success in the world. It'd be a good idea for these ancient ideas or these concepts. This is stuff that the ancients were commended for. By faith, there's an understanding, and the ancients were commended for it. And I gave you these 7, and I'll just give them to you really quickly. I'm going to deal with one. I'm going to let you go. Got 23 minutes. 7 success concepts that you understand by faith. I said, number two, in case you weren't here, in case you missed it last week, I said, number one, mouth magic or words power, power of your words. By faith, the world was formed by God's command so that what is seen was not made out of something that's visible, so that for you to understand that your words have power. That's something to understand. No amount of Holy Ghost is going to help you if you don't understand how powerful your words are. Your words make your world. So number one, you understand the power of words by faith. Number two, sacrifice. That's what I'm going to deal with today. Sacrifice, pain. That by faith, I understand pain and sacrifice and the cost of a thing. That understanding comes by faith. I said number three, relationships. You understand relationships by faith. I said number four, you understand fear by faith. The word says, when warned, Noah in holy fear built this ark. So if you're determined to eradicate all fear, then you don't understand that fear plays a role. And to really understand the role of fear, you have to have faith. Number five, obedience. Especially obedience that you don't fully understand comes by faith. Number six, moderation, the ability to delay gratification. For Abraham to say, hey, I'm going to live in a tent because I'm looking forward to a city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. That's faith. Amen, light bulbs. And number seven, that time and understanding of time comes by faith. That by faith, Abraham and Sarah, even though they were well past their years, still produced. It's not just the production, it's the fact that they beat time. And you can't beat time if you don't have faith. Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. For you to understand sacrifice, for you to understand pain, for you to understand the power of loss, for a moment, you have to have faith. Part of the reason why we come here and praise the Lord and bless God and worship God is not just for him to remove all loss, because there's some loss that's a part of life. It's not, I know, we're just praying for God to remove all the fears. Got you. But understand that fear does play a role and being successful. And it takes faith to understand that fear. It takes faith to understand pain. It takes faith to understand sacrifice. That understanding comes by faith. And so that's why I have us looking at Genesis chapter 4, and I'll show you what I see here, and I'll pray for you. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil, and in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of his flock, from some of the firstborn of his flock." So the first thing that I want us to understand about sacrifice, and I'll throw it on the screens for you if you're writing stuff down or just for you to remember it, hopefully, is number one, connection demands sacrifice. Connection demands sacrifice. We are looking at the earliest accounts of men's interaction with God. And whether you ascribe to the theology that this actually happened, or whether you ascribe to the theological perspective that this is a type, the truth is there. It's eternal. And the eternal truth is that there is no connection without sacrifice. That connection demands sacrifice. Connection with God demands sacrifice. But it's not just connection with God that demands sacrifice. Connection with church demands sacrifice. It's only but so connected you're going to be at a church if you never sacrifice. Never sacrifice any of your time. Never sacrifice any of your talent. Never sacrifice any of your tithes or offerings. Your connection to the church is not as strong as it is if you sacrifice. I need an amen on that one. If you're a part of the folk, if you never sacrifice any of your time or your gas, if you're sacrificing time and gas to go to the mall, and time and gas to go to the game, and time and gas to go to the movies, and you want church to be super convenient, now you'll walk far at the mall, but you want church to be so convenient that you are dropped off literally at the door. If you're not willing to make a sacrifice, understand your connection to that church will be tenuous at best. We have to be careful that COVID hasn't made us so used to the comfort and the convenience of the stream that we miss the fact that there's something about sacrificing that makes your connection stronger. I wish I had a witness in the building. Can I get a witness in the building? I know I can get it in the building because y'all made a sacrifice. You may be watching around the world. You're sacrificing 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes of your time. I mean, with all of the time that you have in the week, to sacrifice some of that time strengthens your connection. You end up with more faith. You end up saying, "Well, I went to church this week." You end up saying, you end up with another level of confidence, and you end up with another level of access. That connection demands sacrifice. Connection with America demands sacrifice. Connection with America demands sacrifice. I mean, we kind of take it for granted. But new presidential, at this point now, what are they saying? Well, they're saying that you're living here. They're claiming that we're the greatest country on earth. And so there's an expectation that you sacrifice. They call it taxes. They don't care if it's a willing sacrifice. They don't care if it's a joyful sacrifice. They take it. What they're saying is, yeah, well, if you want to be connected, if you want to be a citizen, we're going to give you a number. And we're going to track what you make. Oh, nobody wants to say amen. We're going to watch it. We're going to track it. And then we're going to tell you what you owe us. And so what are they saying? Well, they're saying, well, you have to make some kind of a sacrifice. If you're going to be connected, you don't get the connection without the sacrifice. Connection with a person demands sacrifice. all you're thinking about is you, if all you're thinking about is what you want and what you get, and you don't see the sacrificial part of it, then understand the connection with somebody demands a sacrifice. Connection with your parents demands a sacrifice. Connection with your baby demands a sacrifice. A romantic relationship demands a sacrifice. Friendship demands a sacrifice. You ain't a real friend if you can't sacrifice. I'm not a real friend. If I do all the calling, then you're not a real friend. You have to sacrifice some of your time. If you call me and ask me, can I take you somewhere? And then I say, sure. And then I call you back and you're like, well, I'm busy. Well, if you can't sacrifice for me, then your connection to me will be tenuous. And I don't know how well I trust you if it's all about you. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. That just understand that by faith we understand sacrifice. And if you've been so burnt that you no longer can sacrifice, then you're going to be in a tough spot, because connection demands sacrifice. Connection with a company demands sacrifice. You don't can't go to the interview and right off the bat start telling them what you won't do. And if you burnt from your last job, well, my last job, this was my title, but they ended up giving me this as a part of it, and this is a part of it. Well, I want you to know, if you want to have a stronger connection with that company, you may have to be willing to come in a little early and leave a little late. And if you can't do that, then your connection won't be as strong. So connection demands sacrifice. It's the first understanding. It comes by faith. If someone says, well, I want you to sacrifice, and very often in most of these situations, we're trying to figure out who's going to sacrifice first. Well, with the Lord said, well, I'm going to send my son to die for you. And so now, since he sacrificed, now I want you to sacrifice. I want you to give me your life. I want you to give me your heart. I want you to give me your strength. I want you to give me your I want you to sacrifice because I sacrificed first. But for the other connections, very often we're playing a game of chicken with the company. We're playing a game of chicken with the church. We're playing a game of chicken with a person. We're playing a game of chicken with the company. We're trying to see who's going to sacrifice first. Because the sacrifice takes faith. So just number one understanding, you're not going to have a strong connection without any sacrifice. Connection demands it. Number two, it says the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. So number two, the second truth that you understand by faith is not all sacrifice is acceptable. It's right here in the word. Not all sacrifice is acceptable. You got Cain, you got Abel, it's not personal. We have a tendency, especially today, to immediately go to emotional manipulation when someone communicates to us that the sacrifice is not acceptable. We go on the attack. Oh, so something's wrong with you, because you have the nerve to demand a sacrifice, and you're telling me that my sacrifice is not acceptable to you, and I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear what your measure is. I got my own. I think I look good. I think I'm doing enough. I think I take you out. I think I talk. I think I do this enough. And so I'm going to measure us by me. And the nerve of you to not look at my sacrifice with favor. It's a hard world when there's no standard. And we have now entered into an arena and a moment in time in which don't nobody want their sacrifice judged. Everybody wants to say, well, this is enough. Because I think it's enough. And it's possible that Abel came and gave a sacrifice, and Abel and Cain gave a sacrifice, and the Lord looked at Abel's and said, good job, and looked at Cain's and said, what the is that? The word favor, I know the word in the NIV it says favor, but that Hebrew word sha'ah there can be translated in several ways. One of those ways it can be translated is respect. There's some translations that say that God respected Abel's but didn't respect Cain's. Another translation says regard. That word there can mean regard, meaning that Abel's sacrifice was noticed and Cain's was not. Cain's sacrifice was so insignificant that it was barely noticed. It's possible for you to think you sacrificing and somebody don't see it because it's too small. It's big to you and it's small to them. It's absolutely possible for you to think you are sacrificing for your company, and the way they see it, you ain't sacrificing. It's absolutely possible for you to be looking at your child and say, all the sacrifices, and for your child to be like, sacrifices? It's absolutely possible for your child to look at you and say, and be like, what's that? It's absolutely possible for your parent to look at you and say, I'm not asking you to do nothing all that hard. And you walking around annoyed because you gave a sacrifice that they had the nerve to deem unacceptable. Boy, it done got quiet in here right now. So now what we're going to do is we're going to cancel you, and we're going to cancel this, and we're going to cancel that one, because they had the nerve to open up their mouth and speak an expectation of a sacrifice level. And just because you're not willing to meet it doesn't mean that it's not valuable. So Cain gives a sacrifice, Abel gives a sacrifice, and the Lord, even though he loves everybody, just because he loved them, don't mean that the sacrifice is acceptable. Well, I thought you loved me. I mean, yeah, but just because I love you don't mean that this is acceptable. Pastor Andy, you're supposed to be a man of God. You're supposed to love everybody. I'm not saying I don't. But what I'm saying is, I mean, you got to sacrifice something. You just want everything for free? You just want all of this and all of this and all of this and all of this, and you think that sacrifice was enough? It's absolutely possible for the Lord to look at you and say, yeah, well, then there's no favor on that. Someone said, what's wrong with Cain's sacrifice? They don't tell us exactly. They don't say exactly what was wrong with Cain's sacrifice. There's a hint of it. The hint of it is that Abel's sacrifice was first and fat. First and fat. That Cain gave something from the ground. Abel gave fat portions from the first. So it's possible. You have to realize, in biblical times, fat is valuable. You need fat. Fat adds flavor. Fat adds calories that you can't always get. Fat produces a grease. Fat's valuable. See, we don't see fat as valuable, but in their time, fat was valuable. And so to give God the fat, they killed the fattened calf because it tasted better. So to give God the fat and to give him from the first. Sometimes the sacrifice isn't acceptable is because you gave me the last dregs of what you had left. And you want me to accept it when you gave me the last you had. At the end, after you was tired, then you want to come work for me. After you burnt and done and angry and upset, after you're messed up, now you want to come to me and you want to go to my church. And you're like, well, I already gave in that campaign and I already gave at that church and I already served there. And now I want to go somewhere where they're going to do all the work. And so now you at the end. Got quiet in here. You're going to have to get some faith together because I want first and fat. God wants first and fat. He wants first and fat. He wants, what was your first fruit like? What did you do with the first dude? Ooh, it got quiet in here. What did you do for your first girl before your heart got broke? What were you like then? Well, that person gone. Well, then you need to stay by yourself. Don't now subject someone to the barrenness of your brokenness. Oh, God. My Lord, I don't want to preach like this. What I'm saying is Abel's sacrifice was more acceptable because it was a first offering. Well, I've been working in this field for 25 years, and I just want you to know, I am about to start over. Well, I guess maybe you can't work for me. Because I want some of the energy that you had when you was 28. Is there any of that? Don't come in here and tell me I'm 57. Oh, well then, you won't be getting the job. Because I want some first fruit from you. I don't want tired, I'm moving slow. I ain't coming here to work. Well then, you won't have a job. Because if a sacrifice is going to be acceptable and you're going to understand, you're going to have a sacrifice. Then if that sacrifice is going to be acceptable, then it's going to have to be first and fat. I don't want your lean, tired sacrifice. All right. Number three, the third point. I done left preaching every week. The third point, verse 5b says, so Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Understand? Rejected sacrifice can hurt. Got to understand this by faith. Rejected sacrifice can hurt. You can't use the hurt to excuse your behavior. God, I done got so quiet. Can't use the hurt to excuse your behavior. Well, you hurt my feelings. How dare you tell me what your measure is because it hurts my feelings. It's not what they said to me at the job, it's how they said it. So now I'm hurt. So now because I'm hurt because I thought I was sacrificing and they didn't. And so I feel rejected by that. And so now I'm going to act out. Because we don't understand that, yeah, it can be tough if someone says, yeah, but that's not enough though. That could be hard. And the hurt makes us react because we live in such a world of safety that we don't expect any kind of pain. So when pain comes, we don't understand it. And we're not interested in it. And we don't realize that that pain may help you if you can move past it. It's absolutely possible for you to feel rejected by God. It's a hard word because today we just want the whole great grace message and we want God to know mountain he won't climb up, valley he won't tear down, coming after me. I got you, sweetheart. But also understand that once you get the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, he gonna say, all right, now, just because I love you don't mean that I won't hurt your feelings. Anybody God has ever hurt your feelings and wish when you sat down with the Lord, he was like, yeah, but what are you talking about? You didn't, but you haven't done that. And that's not planned. I love you too much to leave you how you are. I love you too much. I mean, yeah, I live and he loved me, died and he saved me. But once I get you, I got to fix you. You can find yourself in a situation where you don't even want to say nothing to the employee because it's too much drama. Just let him go and start over. Because the information that their sacrifice It's not acceptable. It's too painful for them to move past it. But just understand that rejection, rejected sacrifice can hurt. Now, the thing I will say about Cain is, at least he recognized the rejection. Doesn't really say what exactly happened, but at least he could see it. We don't know what God did to show the favor, but at least Cain was able to see it, because there's a whole lot of folk who don't have any favor and can't see it. Amen, light bulbs. This is so good. Verse 6 says, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be deceptive? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door, desires to have you, but you must rule over it. You must master it. Point number 4 we have to understand about sacrifice by faith is acceptance is in your hands. Acceptance is in your hands. If you do right, acceptance is in your hands. The Lord looks in Cain and says, well, this isn't personal. I didn't wake up and decide to like Abel and not like you. What you upset about? Why is your face messed up? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? I'm walking heavy. This is deep, Elder Paul. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? See, that takes faith. Because it's absolutely possible to say, like, well, no, just because I do right don't mean you're going to do right for me. Oh, I got you. So your problem is that you don't have any faith that God will do right if you do right. Because instead of Cain doing right and making God do right, he decides to kill Abel so that his sacrifice will look okay. Because even after an appearance of God, even after recognizing a favor, even after a word from the Lord, even after God told him, if you do what's right, I got you. If you do what's wrong, sin's trying to get you. But if you do what's right, I got you. If you can just have faith and do the right thing, I got you. After that, Cain killed Abel. And the question for all of us is, are we Cain or are we Abel? And I'll get transparent. I've been both. There have been times when I've been Cain. There have been times when I've been upset by the blessing that came on somebody because they had the nerve to work harder than I worked. I guess I'm the only honest person in the room. I know I'm not the only one. Had the nerve to be upset that how dare you do right? How dare you figure out the formula? How dare you go back? How dare you go to school? How dare you be better than me? How dare you? And how dare you raise the bar so that I look like I'm not working? You ever been on a job working with somebody who works hard the whole time and you're annoyed? Like, dude, we getting paid by the hour, bruh. He over there sweeping. I'm just so glad I got a job. And you're saying, if you keep working like this, you gonna show that I'm not working. Chill, bruh. Are you Cain? Are you a hater? Are you jealous? Are you just lazy? And you got an attitude because you're a hater. I've been there. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about more. I had to sit and look at myself in the mirror and be like, what a hater you are. You don't even want to hear them. You don't even want to go. Got the nerve to get married. I ain't even going. Why? Well, are you Cain or are you Abel? If you find you are Abel, be careful who you turn your back on in the field. Especially if Cain is someone close to you. It's absolutely possible for Cain to be your brother. It's absolutely possible for Cain to be the dude you grew up with. Absolutely possible for Cain to be your friend at the company. if you are doing right, be careful, because doing right can still get you killed. So all of us who are doing right, watch your life and doctrine closely. Be careful who you eat with. Be careful who you talk to. Be careful who you tell all your business to. I wish I had a... Be careful who you sleep with. Be careful who you hang out with, because you never know, they might hate you. Believe me, Cain wouldn't have been able to kill Abel if Abel had been aware of the fact that it's possible to do right and be murdered by somebody doing wrong. Oh, Jesus, you better be careful. You working hard at the company, be careful. If you're doing the stuff right, be careful. If you have a great plan, be careful who you tell it to. If you have pulled together a great strategy to make the company make a whole lot of money, don't tell nobody that. You better be able, baby, because you don't know who you can really trust up there. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Watch your back. You're supposed to be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. It doesn't mean you're supposed to be Cain. It just means you need to be careful sharing every feeling that you have. This is a heavy word. This is a heavy message right here. But you need to be careful just talking to everybody about everything, because, and again, talking about myself, because out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. The end of this story is Cain kills Abel. And Cain is punished as a result of it. But we have to understand sacrifice, because it comes by faith. And there is a significant blessing that only comes when you can sacrifice. And my prayer for you is not just that favor be on you, but my prayer for you is that when favor comes on you, your sacrificer isn't broken. My God, heal us all of a broken sacrificer. We're not so burnt by America and burnt by a company and burnt by this one and burnt by men and burnt by women and burnt by church and burnt by people and burnt by family and burnt by daddies and burnt by this, that the minute it is even suggested that we sacrifice, we just totally go inside ourselves. My God, heal us today. Because there's a blessing that only happens. There's a success that only happens if you can sacrifice. If you heard a word from the Lord, put your hands together really quickly. I said, if you heard a word from the Lord, put your hands really quickly. Can I get you to give? Can I get you to give right now? Can I get you to sacrifice? Can I get you to give? This is our building fund offering. And so I know we've given our tithes and I'm over time, but it's okay. Anybody hear a word? You heard a word. You heard a word. Can I get you to give? Can I get you to give to the work of the kingdom of God? And if you've made a pledge, and if you haven't, it's still not too late. You raise your hand. One of the gatekeepers will come to you with an offering envelope, and you'll be able to give to the work of the kingdom of God. And we are on our way to a wealthy place. We are on our way out of this space. We've got about 2 years left on this lease, and we're on our way to this new space, and God is moving over us as we come together to give. And it's not going, God is going to miracle us in there by your sacrifice. As a result of your giving, as a result of the power of God in your life, as a result of God making things happen in your life, the word says that God will make you rich so that you can be generous on every occasion. And so if you made a pledge, if you're watching live stream around the world and you haven't made a pledge, then you still can. When you scan that barcode, not only will it take you to the place, and I see hands in the back, not only will it take you to the place where you can give, but it also will take you to the place where you can make a pledge for this Victory Park building that we're building. And that, just really quickly, what is Victory Park? It's not a school. It's not a community event. It is our church building, but our church building is basically going to be this big, giant sportsplex arena type place. There's going to be soccer fields on the outside and courts on the outside and courts on the inside. And my vision is basketball court, basketball court, basketball court, basketball court, and a sanctuary like this, about this size, closed in the back, so that people who are coming there to play and people that are coming there for practices and people that are coming there for all the stuff that they're coming there for will also, there'll be folk on the campus that will get a chance to get a glimpse of World Overcomers who don't even go to the church. And then the church itself will significantly minister to the community. I have this vision where someone walks in, that when they get there, the counseling center will be there. When they get there, there'll be guidance counseling there. So that if somebody's trying to figure out, how can I go to school, and how can I get a scholarship, and how can I do this, that the ministry of excellence that we provide will not just impact church people, but that people in our community, folk in our culture, will benefit significantly by the work that we do together. And so I'm asking you to give. Around the world, I'm asking you to give. I was talking to one of the top givers. I've been taking them to lunch, and I sat down with one of them the other day, and I said to him that when you go to a church like this one, and when you give, when you tithe, when you give your offering, and I want to challenge everyone, all the nevers, when you give, not only do you bless the kingdom, not only do you bless God, and not only will that blessing come on you, but not only do you bless your kingdom, the kingdom, but you bless your people. You bless your people. And there's got to be a blessing of your people. That there's an anointing on you and there's a power of God on your life. And it's not just for you. It's for your people to be impacted. Your culture. So I'm inviting you to give. And this project is happening, and I'm excited about it. Come on, let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, I want to thank you, doing the best I can, Lord, to be faithful and consistent and to preach a concept that is challenging to me and all of us. Thank you, Lord God, for sacrifice. Thank you for the connection to the vision. Thank you for the connection to you. Thank you for the connection to the word. God, I thank you for everyone that's watching literally around the world, literally around the area, Lord God. Way more of us not in the room than are in the room. And so, God, we're believing in now for a move of your spirit. We need a miracle. God, we're looking for a miracle. We expect the impossible. Thank you for the pledges coming in. Thank you for the money being donated. Thank you for the people that are giving faithfully. Thank you, Lord God, for what you get, this vision you've given us. Thank you, Lord God, that our time in these BPG buildings are done. Time for us to go on. And God, I pray that as we go on, we will all go on. You'll make us the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower, always at the top, never at the bottom. Have your way in us. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said together, amen. God bless you as you give. And thank you for your generosity. It's more than just your tithes. It's your generosity. It's giving above and beyond your tithe. It's being generous. It's giving to the work of the kingdom of God and giving to this moment in time. And so thank you for making a pledge. Thank you for paying on your pledge consistently. And we're coming close to closing on the land. We haven't closed on it yet, not because we aren't ready, but just because of the due diligence, making sure everything's done. And we're working with one of the biggest construction companies in the area. They're called Choate. And so this is all being done very seriously, because this is a no joke moment for us. And so for those of you that are connected with us through online, thank you. Thank you so much. And can we invite you to come back to church? My God. And next Sunday, Harvest Festival. Let me tell you what Harvest Festival is going to be. Just the reopening, relaunching of our children's ministry. But then there's just going to be all kinds of games and bouncing food trucks. Food trucks? Just somebody nod at me as I'm talking. Food trucks. If I say something wrong, just say no. Food trucks and bouncy houses and games and just fun and just all kinds of stuff that we're just going to welcome children back into children's ministry. You'll be able to come to service. I'm going to preach a message just on the blessing of God in your life, and then we're just going to have an awesome time as we relaunch children's ministry, and I'm excited about it. And And then our revival is coming up. We're doing an end of the year revival this year, and we've got some powerful preachers coming through. Bunch of young folk. Marissa Farrell's coming to preach. Brian Meadows is coming to preach. Manny Arango's preaching, of course. He's one of the sons of the ministry. Oh, he's one of the biggest traveling preachers in the world right now. And just special, just a powerful, powerful time. And just amazing things happening with us at World Overcomers. Amen. All minds clear. We good? Jump on your feet. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your attendance, your faithfulness. Thank you for being here with us this morning. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for your hand that's on us for good. Thank you for your anointing that destroys the yoke. Thank you that no weapon formed against us can prosper. God, I pray that you dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Cover us with your blood. Anointing, rest on us. Let your power fall on us. Lord, this week, favor on us. This week, anointing on us. Lord, as we're determined to be pleasing in your sight, oh God, work a miracle on our behalf. Somebody needs a miracle. Somebody needs a move of your spirit, and we're believing in now. And God, thank you for your hand on us. Now, God, bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people and give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.